We're so glad that you're here today. I was asked how long I was going to preach at this time, and I heard one time about a young man that was going to get married, and he told the pastor, he said, the shorter you make the service, the more money I'll pay you for the service. And so the preacher got up and he looked at the girl and he said, take him? Yes. Take her? Yes. Taken. And so we'll not do it quite that fast, but we want to read some scriptures. You may be seated. There are Bible pews there, if you want to look at one of those. And I promise you, we'll be home in time for breakfast. much quicker than that. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, and when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the priests, the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least of the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and that shall rule my people Israel. When Herod heard these things, he had privately called the wise men, back at verse 7. When he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they returned into their own country another way. We're going to trust that God will add his blessings to the reading of the Word of God today. And we're going to title this message, The Wise Men. And we want to share some thoughts with you about these ones that the Bible call wise men. My mother and father-in-law didn't have a lot of money in their lifetime, but they did one time get enough money to group together that they bought a 1963 Chevrolet station wagon and a small, very small camper. And on that camper, on the front of it, Mom somewhere or another got a sticker that said, wise men still seek him. And that was on there from just after the time that they bought it until passed that on to somebody else. I heard my brother say one time, I think I saw Dad Murphy coming down out of the hills the other day, and as he approached me, I became certain it was him because I saw that sticker of it said, wise men still seek him. And he said, I know this, when Dad Murphy's driving down the mountain, wise men get out of his way. And so we've had a lot of fun with that over the years. But the term wise man is one in the Bible that's normally reserved for highly educated people, like teachers and priests and physicians and astrologers and such things as that. It's unusual that these men were called wise men, and yet we find the Bible testifies in verse number 1 that they were wise men. There came wise men. Now you say, well, why is it unusual that they would be called wise men? Because in another place, this is what God says about wise men. The Bible says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the things that are to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, when I think that God says not many wise men are called, and yet he says these men are wise, I begin to wonder, why would the Lord, who knows everything, the end from the beginning, he knows every thought that we think, he knows the purposes of our heart, he knows our motivations and the reasons that we do things, he knows all those things, and in his wisdom, he passed on to us a characteristic of these men, and they were called by him wise men. And I begin to ask myself the question, why? What made them wise men? First off, could I say they were wise because they came to Jesus. Amen. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28, the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You see, these men were wise enough to know that Jesus had something to offer them. They saw Jesus as an opportunity and not as a drudgery. They saw Jesus as what he really is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they were wise enough to understand their need to search for him, their need to find him, their need to have him invested in their life. Now, they weren't called wise men because of their accomplishments. They were called wise men because they came. You know, the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. These men were wise because they recognized in Jesus something very, very special. And then the Bible tells us that they not only were wise because they came, but notice in verse number 2, the Bible says when they're talking to the king, the Bible said, or when they're asking where Jesus was, they said, for we have come to worship him. And then when we get over a little ways in the scriptures, the Bible says that they did worship him. You see, sometimes we say we're going to do something. Sometimes we say we need something, but we don't always follow through. There's a difference between saying and doing. And in verse number 2, they said, we want to worship him. And in verse number 11, they did what they said they would do. You know, if most Christians would just do what we say we're going to do. You know, we read the scriptures and we find out God tells us that we need to do this or do that. And the foolishness of preaching tells us we need to do this or do that. And we say, I will. But then we get outside and we get in the hustle bustle of the world and we get mounted up with all these troubles and trials and tribulations. We find the pressures of the world and the world, the flesh, and the devil attack us. And somewhere or another between I will and I did, there's a missing space there. Well, these men were great not only because they came, but because they came to worship, and they did worship him. And if you notice in verse number 11, the Bible says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Notice they didn't worship her. They didn't worship them. They worshiped him. Amen. And that's more important than anything that you could ever understand. Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are no shortcuts to heaven. You have to come the Jesus way. Every other way leads to hell, and we need to understand that. And so they were wise because they came. They were wise because they came to worship. They were wise because they gave gifts. They recognized something in Jesus that was very special. Now, the Bible lists 3 different gifts that they gave. And probably that's why sometimes we get the idea that there were 3 wise men. But we don't know how many there were. The Bible doesn't tell us. It says they were wise men. And I'm not an English major or anything. But being men, I know it has to be more than one. So it could have been that number on up to some large, large number. But they gave 3 gifts, and those gifts were symbolic. And first off, let me say those gifts were valuable. They didn't give Jesus the leftovers. Sometimes I fear that the world, you know, a young person will make a profession of faith and really get saved. His life will change, and he falls in love with the Lord, and then things happen, and and things are introduced into his life that he didn't know before, or she didn't know before, and their attention gets turned from the Lord Jesus, and before very long, they're invested in the world, the flesh, and the devil, and it just seems like they don't really get back to the Lord, and then a tragedy comes into their life, or maybe a great blessing, and they turn to the Lord, and they give him their leftovers. Now, if that's all you have to give the Lord, praise God. But young people, listen, you don't have to give God the leftovers. You can give him the best part of your life, and you can never outgive the Lord Jesus. And so the Bible says that they gave valuable things. They gave gold. Gold speaks of deity. Now the world recognizes Jesus as a pauper, as a person that went from one place to another place just to eat. They don't understand that he had the power to call fish up into Peter's net. He had the power. He could have eaten anything he wanted at any time. Angels would have served him. In fact, there's times when angels did attend to him and take care of him and so forth. But these men realized that Jesus Christ really was, is, and will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so one of the gifts that they gave him that God mentions is gold. Another is frankincense. Frankincense speaks of sacrifice and intercession. Sacrifice. Only Jesus could shed his blood and wash our sin away. That's sacrifice. Amen. And we need to, when we think about intercession, there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And you can take your confession anywhere you want. But if you want it to get to the Father, if you want it to get to the throne in heaven, you better take it to Jesus. He is our intercessor. And then the third one was myrrh. Myrrh is an exciter. It is an antiseptic, and it's used in embalming. And these men, before they ever met Jesus, when they were getting up the things to take to him, one of them said, you know, he's going to die for us. He's going to die for us. He's not going to swoon away and be put in a tomb that somebody's going to move the rock away. No, he's going to die for us. A man, a centurion, who was certified and verified in being able to tell when someone is dead, you know, when they wanted to claim the body of Jesus, their only concern was that he was really dead. And this centurion certified that Jesus was dead. And they took him from the cross. They prepared his body. They put him into a borrowed tomb. They sealed it shut, put the rock there. And of course, it spoke of the fact that Jesus Christ was God. He was dead. He was embalmed. And of course, these men, I believe, understood that 72 hours later, Jesus is going to stand up victorious over sin, death, and the grave, proving that his death on the cross, listen, his death on the cross was, that it was effective for you and I, was proven by his resurrection. Had he stayed in the tomb, it would have simply said that there's no hope, there's no dream, there's nothing beyond the grave. He's just dead and that's it. But thank God he didn't. He got up out of the grave, and it's indicated by the gifts that they gave him. And then let me say that we too ought to give him gifts. We too ought to give him gifts. We ought to give him our time. We ought to give him our talent. And we ought to give him of our treasures. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Child of God, let me ask you, how long has it been since in your prayer time, in your mind, in your heart, you went to an old rugged cross and you gave Jesus you all over again? We need to do that. Jesus ought to own us lock, stock, and barrel. He ought to own us hook, line, and sinker. He ought to own us from the top of our balding head to the bottom of our big feet. He ought to own us. He bought us. He paid for us. He purchased us. And then, of course, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. And people who have walked with the Lord Jesus know and understand that you cannot outgive God. And when you give and what you give, God will respond to you in like fashion. And so they were wise men because of their gifts. And then they were wise because they obeyed the Spirit of the Lord. In verse number 12, the Bible says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Two things. Number one, they listened to God. Wise men listen to God. Wise men look at the word of God that says to do this, and they just do it. They don't even stop it. You know, if somebody said, if Jesus said jump, you ought to ask him how high. Why would you do that? When Jesus says jump, just jump as high as you can. Do what he wants you to do. Obey him. Listen to him. The Bible testifies that it's better to obey than sacrifice. You know, some people say, well, you know, I did something I shouldn't do, and I didn't mind the Lord. I didn't do what I should have done, but I'll just give an extra $10 in the offering. That's not where it's at. The Bible said to obey is better than sacrifice. There's just something about obeying God that gets his attention and brings blessings with it. And then, of course, the Bible said we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. When we hear the word of God, whether it's preached or we read it or it comes to us in a Christmas card and there's something in there that God nudges our heart and says, you need to do this or you need to stop doing that. The Bible says if we obey, we too are wise. But if we don't, if we disobey, the Bible says that we have deceived our own selves. We live in a world of deception today. I feel sorry for people who are deceived. I know one lady not far from here who was deceived out of thousands and thousands of dollars that her and her husband had saved over a parcel of many years. She was deceived. That my heart goes out to her. But you know, even more foolish is a first person that deceives themselves. And when we don't do what the Word of God says to do, the Bible says we have deceived our own selves. And then another verse is Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You know, Peter one time was up on a rooftop waiting for a meal to be cooked. That proves he was a Baptist, I guess. He was waiting for lunch to be served. And as he sat up there, he kind of went into a trance, and God speaks to him and let this sheet down from heaven, caught up by the four corners, and inside it was all kinds of unclean things. And the Spirit of God said to him, Peter, rise up and eat. And he looked in there and he says, not so, Lord. Nothing unclean's ever passed these lips. Not so, Lord. Well, you see, there was a contradiction there. For God to tell him to do something and he said, not so, Lord. Listen, if he's Lord, we ought to obey him. And Jesus covered that when he said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And so as we look at these things today, every one of us in this room are either wise people or unwise people, one of the two. And what you've done with Jesus and what you've allowed him to do with you determines if you're wise or unwise. And I found this to be true in just so many different areas. When we obey the Lord, we draw nigh to him. He's our Savior. We've trusted him. That's all taken care of. We know we're on our way to heaven. As we obey him, the more we obey him, the more he unlocks the word of God to us, the more intelligence he gives us, the more reasoning, the more wisdom that he'll give to us. Oh, it pays to be a wise man in the wicked world we're living in. We need Christians today who will be wise by coming to Christ, by worshiping Christ, by granting gifts to Christ, and by obeying the Lord. Where are you on that list today? Let's bow our heads in prayer.